Exactly 5 years ago this day, there's a huge storm which rolled into Dickinson. It was one of those where it was just the sheets of rain that was coming down, with the lightning that just lit up the whole sky, thunder that would make the whole house shake, and even knocked out the power that night. It was 5 years ago this day where I arrived in Dickinson as your pastor. It was. And I just want to take a moment. I want to express in some little small way, it's 5 years, the deep gratitude I have. You guys, this parish, and all of you, you're a gift to me and my priesthood and being able to be your pastor. And I'm very, very grateful to you. And so thank you. And 5 years, whew, goes by very quick. This day is also, even more importantly, the great solemnity of Peter and Paul, who are the two pillars of the church. A solemnity so great that it takes the place of the Sunday Mass, and it's offered as the Sunday Mass today. Peter and Paul. There's a place where this gospel hits especially hard. There are these excavations that were done underneath St. Peter's Basilica just 80 years ago. And it's the Scavi excavations, because St. Peter's was built upon a cemetery, specifically upon one grave. And you can go through these Scavi excavations, and right at the end, you come within 10 feet of the tomb and the remains of St. Peter. And to hear these words standing there, his grave directly underneath the high altar of St. Peter's, this massive edifice, that you, Simon, son of John, you are rock, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This man, who was a very simple man, he was a working man, he was a fisherman, completely incompetent to the task that he was going to be called to. Not just at that moment when he was called, but he showed this continually throughout the Gospels. A man who was called Rock, who again and again his faith was shown to be shaky. But Jesus chose him. There's a place where the peace that St. Paul points to today in the reading that we hear of his, the peace that awaits him now that he has run the race, he has kept the faith, the peace he speaks about elsewhere as surpassing all human understanding. There's a place where you can actually feel that peace. You've been in a place like that before, right? Where the peace of God is so thick you can feel it. It hits you. To go into the Basilica of St. Paul outside the wall early in the morning or at the very end of the day, where St. Paul himself, after being beheaded for the faith, is buried. There's a peace that is so thick there that you can't help but be hit by it. Which is ironic, too, because this man who was so highly educated, of all the Jews, who had a hatred for the Christian faith. Not just because, oh, them Christians, look at that. No, he knew, this highly educated man of the Judaic faith, he knew very clearly what a threat Christianity was to Judaism. And he hated it and knew it needed to be wiped out. But who himself encountered the risen Lord, was blinded by him, humbled by him, and went out to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. His life, you go to his tomb and it's just peaceful. But his life was the exact opposite of that. Even and especially after he encountered the risen Christ, he had a tumultuous life, one thing to the next. And we know this because he tells us multiple times of all the different things he encountered. It's not like he went into towns, preached the gospel, and standing ovations, "Oh, Paul, we love you, you're amazing, everyone converted." No. They like beat him. They mock him. Like, "Oh, your letters sound so strong, but here you are preaching, you're so unimpressive." He was in prison, beaten, shipwrecked, all these things. His life was just tumultuous. It was a continuous storm. But yet you go to his tomb, and it's a place of peace. You go to the tomb of St. Peter, and you feel the strength of the church solidly built upon him. Even though St. Peter, you remember this gospel where it happens right after it, right? What happens immediately after this? Jesus speaks about how he has to go and suffer and die before he's glorified. Peter pulls him aside and says, "No, Lord, never. Get behind me, Satan." He denies Jesus 3 times. And even at the very end of his life, it's not in Scripture, but it's been handed down from tradition, from the mouth of Peter onward. Right at the end of his life, so St. Peter had been imprisoned as Paul had in Rome, in the Mamertine prison. You can still go there. You can touch the walls of the prison. There was a huge persecution that broke out. Rome burned down. Emperor Nero, who was crazy, scapegoated and pinned the blame on the Christians. And Christians were being pulled out and killed. And so what did this man, this rock upon whom Jesus was going to build his church, what did he do in the face of this? He fled. He left. He left Rome. And as he was leaving Rome in fear with his tail between his legs, he encountered for the last time on this earth the risen Lord. And he saw Jesus walking the other way on the road, and he asked him, "Quo vadis, Domini? Where are you going, Lord?" Jesus told him, "I'm going into Rome to be crucified again." Peter turned around on that spot, and he went back into Rome to face his martyrdom, to shed his blood. And he was crucified in what is now St. Peter's Square and buried where he lies now and upon which St. Peter's Basilica is built, the rock upon which the church sets. There should be a book written which is called "The Worst Quotes Which Are Not in the Bible." Quotes that people think are in the Bible, but they're not. One of them that would definitely be in there is, "God will never give you more than you can handle." It's tricky, because there is a verse in Scripture that sounds very close to that, but it isn't that stupid verse. Because the truth, I hope you've experienced, is not that. God will always call you to a task that is greater than what you can do on your own. He always will. But here's the naked truth, everyone. He chose you. God chose you. And he has called you to a task which is greater than what you can do on your own. But his grace is what is sufficient for you. He will never call you to a task that is greater than what you can do with his grace. And this weakness that St. Paul spoke about, and this weakness that we see in Peter, that is matched only by the greater strength and grace that God gives. God chose you. He chose you and called you to bear fruit for him and his kingdom, and he chose you to be a great saint. And we can look to St. Peter and St. Paul and be inspired by them, but to look to them also and to see within them the truth that your life, even if it's filled with all sorts of storms and turbulence, your life, even if it's marked by tons of sin and weakness, those aren't the obstacles to you being a saint. They're not the obstacles. They are, in fact, the path to which you will become a saint. Through God's grace, He has chosen you, and He gives you the grace in abundance that you need to be a saint and to be one of the great saints as well. Close by St. Peter's, upon the roof of the North American College, is a quote from the hymn of evening prayer of this day. And it says, "O happy Rome, who is consecrated by the glorious blood of her two princes." St. Peter and St. Paul, pray for us on this day that we too might have the courage and the grace to give our lives entirely to God and become with you great saints.